إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 16th session dealing with the topic of al-Iman bil-Qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi. And tonight we'd like to discuss question number 152 from A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li-i'tiqad al-Ta'if al-Naji al-Mansura. But before we discuss the question for tonight, we'd like to go back and look at the question from the last 2 weeks, and that is the evidences for the fourth level of Iman in Qadr, that is the level of Khalq, creation, that everything that occurs or exists is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh, in what we covered in the last 2 sessions, mentions 10 evidences, 8 ayat from the Quran, and 2 evidences from the Sunnah. So before we go on to the next question, question number 152, we'd like to look at the evidences that were mentioned concerning the fourth and final level of al-Iman bil-Qadr, the level of creation. As I said, the Imam, the Shaykh Allama Hafiz al-Hakami, Aimahullah, mentioned 10 evidences, 8 from the Quran and 2 from the Sunnah. So we'd like to hear from you, from some of those evidences. First from the Quran. From the Quran. Naam, Ibrahim.
Surah Safat. 3796. Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amaloon.
Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amaloon. That was the 5th evidence, mashallah. You skipped from 1 to 5. Tayyib, what's the meaning of it?
Allah created you.
Uh-huh.
What you do.
Naam. The ayah before it, or the, what Allah mentions before that, are you worshipping that which you carved out with your own hands? While Allah, are you doing that while Allah is the one who created you and that which you do, or that which you made, the idols? Naam. Naam. Other evidence. Abdus Salam. Can anybody help us with the reference for this ayah? Fatir. 35th surah? Huh?
Third
ayah. Naam. And the meaning?
All mankind, remember the ni'mah and the blessing of Allah upon you. Is there any creator besides Allah that provides for you in heaven and earth? La ilaha illa huwa. So what is the burden, or why are you degrading?
Naam. Yani the essence of this ayat, Allah is reminding the people of His blessings and favors upon them. And then He asks the question, is there a khaliq? هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَرُزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Is there any creator other than Allah who provides for you from the heavens and the earth? Is there any creator other than Allah? Obviously not. Obviously not. Naam. Abdullah. Allah khaliqu kulli shay'in wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakeel. Naam. Where is it from? Anybody want to help us with the reference? Zumr. 39th surah, ayah 62. Zakal al. What's the meaning? Allah is the creator of everything. Naam. Ala kulli shayin waqeel. And he is the waqeel over everything. Now, the one who has total, absolute, free disposal to do whatever he wills over everything. The one who we entrust our affairs to. Naam. And that was the first evidence that the author gave. Naam. Ahmed. How many is that? Three? Give us a few more. That's four? Surah to Rum. 30th surah.
Ayah 40.
MashaAllah. Tremendous. Now, what's the meaning of this ayah?
Allah created you.
Then He provided for you. Caused you to die.
Then
He raised you to life. Is there anyone from amongst those you have set up as partners with Allah to offer worship to other than Allah? Is any one of them that can do any of this? Any one of these things? Any one of these things? Create you, provide for you, death, life, resurrection. Is there any one of them that can do this? Absolutely not. Not anything from it. Now, that's four. Somebody give us one more. Now, Musa.
Surah to
Shams, 91.
About
7 and 8. Naam. What is the meaning?
And the soul and the one that broke that fashion
it. And the soul and the one that fashioned it. By Allah is swearing, oath. Wa nafsin, and by the soul of the human being. وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, and the one who created it. Yani evenly proportioned in perfect condition. Naam. He inspired it with its taqwa. Naam. Ujuraha wickedness, meaning shar, and taqwaha khair. Naam. Tayyib. From the sunnah. We have a few ayahs remaining, it's okay. From the sunnah. Time, we're going to need time. From the sunnah. The Shaykh mentioned two things from the sunnah. The first of them is the clear evidence from the sunnah. Naam. Tayyib, labas. The first one that he gave, does anybody remember the first? What's the one evidence you want to mention? Sorry, it's the second one. No problem. Go ahead. Zakkiha. Anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Now, the meaning?
Give my soul its piety.
Allah, give my soul its piety. It's taqwa. Wazakkiha,
purified.
You are the best of those who purify, and the only one who can purify the soul. Naam. Huh? Somebody help him. Anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Wali has a lot of meanings. Naam, you could say a protector, helper, supporter, mawla, master. Naam. Like this. Tayyib. The other evidence before that, the Shaykh mentioned. Naam. Naam. Inna Allah yasna'u kulla sani'in wa sana'atahu. Naam. Meaning?
Indeed Allah yakhluku.
Naam. That Allah yakhluku. Naam. Everyone who does something, who makes something, and that which they make. Naam. And this is similar to the ayat. Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amaloon. Anyway, these evidences are very important. Did anybody memorize the supplication that the Shaykh mentioned as the second evidence from the Sunnah in its entirety, as is reported by Imam Ahmad or Imam Muslim? And the wording is slightly different from the two narrations, but the same words, but the rearrangement, maybe the order of the words. Anybody memorize the entire supplication? It's three lines, three parts. The part that the Shaykh mentioned in the book is the second part, and there's a part of the supplication before that and a part of the supplication after that. Anyway, it is a very important supplication. I hope that somebody amongst us will memorize it who didn't already know it. Whoever already knew it, mashallah. Whoever didn't, somebody should memorize it so that we don't, as a whole, as a group, lose out on this tremendous, comprehensive yani, supplication. If there's anything that you can't do without, this is one of them. If you think about the meaning of what is mentioned in this supplication, it's tremendous, tremendous. Anybody want to recite it for us? Tayyib. A little bit of it? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali wal-jubni wal-bukhli wal-harami wa-dhab al-qabri. That's the narration from Imam Muslim. And Imam Ahmed, wording is a little bit different. I mean, the rearrangement of the words. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali wal-harami wal-jubni wal-bukhli wa-dhab al-qabri. And one word came in a different order. And the meaning of this is, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from inability, from being unable to do things. Wal-kasali, laziness. Wal-jubni wal-bukhli, yani from cowardice. And from stingy, being stingy, miserly. And from haram means like being old, senile, yani from old age, not able to do things. Wa-dhab al-khabri. The punishment of the grave. Who's not in need of this? O Allah, I seek refuge in you from what? Being unable, inability, laziness, cowardice, miserliness, senility, and the punishment of the grave. And O Allah, give to my soul its taqwa and purify it. Indeed, you are the best, the only one who can purify it. And you are its, you are the wali and the mawla. And the last part of the supplication, anybody memorize it? This is very important for the students of knowledge. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'u wa min qalbin la yakhsha'u wa min nafsin la tashba'u wa min da'watin la yustajabu laha. Tremendous dua, tremendous dua. And the, again, in the Imam Muslim's narration, the wording of min ilmin la yanfa'u came first, and Imam Ahmed came like third in the order of the arrangement of the matters, but it's the same. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'u, min knowledge that doesn't benefit. I seek refuge in Allah from knowledge that has no benefit. A lot of people have knowledge, no benefit. We seek refuge in Allah from that. From a heart that doesn't have fear of Allah. From a soul that is never satisfied or contented. Greed. And from a supplication that's not answered. I mean, what could be worse than that? A person supplicating, we call upon Allah, is not answered. This is something to seek refuge in Allah from. Tayyib. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to take the next question. Question number 152. And I'd like to say, in the beginning, before mentioning the question, that this is a question, it's a very important issue. And it's an issue, just to show the weightiness of it, that the people who didn't understand, who didn't have the correct aqidah, from the nations of the past, or from today, who didn't have the correct aqidah concerning this matter, went outside of the truth and away from the deen of Allah and fell into kufr because of misunderstanding this matter. Some people, they were right in not attributing evil to Allah. But then they went astray. They didn't know how to explain it then. If Allah is the creator of everything, so they said there's another creator that created evil. So they made two creators and they fell out of Islam and outside of Tawheed into kufr. So this is an important matter. Even though it may sound simple, the Shaykh explained it in a couple of sentences, in three simple parts. Yani, declaring categorically that there's no evil in the actions of Allah. And then explaining that the evil is from the created beings. And then giving some proof that whatever evil befalls you is from yourself, from what your own hands have earned. That's how he explained it, very simply. But understanding it is very important. And I like to read the answer that Shaykh Hafiz al-Hakimi gave, rahimahullah. And then I like to read also, yani, an extension of his argument from Shaykh, from Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in his explanation of al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah. And if time allows, I like to read also another explanation that Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen gave in his explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, to give some further details, yani, to further develop yani the argument that Hafiz Hakimi rahimahullah has presented to us in his answer to this question. The question is, ما معنى قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الخير كله في يديك والشر ليس إليك مع أن الله سبحانه خالق كل شيء. يعني what is the meaning of the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that the خير all of it is in your two hands. خير, every type of good, everything that's considered good, it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two hands of Allah. وَالشَّرْ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ, an evil, pure evil that contains no good cannot be attributed to you, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we understand this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the khair, all of it is in the hands of Allah and the khair cannot be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In light of the fact that Allah, the one who is free from all imperfections, is the sole, single, creator of everything. Creator of good and evil. So how is it that evil cannot be attributed to him? So they said, we don't know. So there must be another creator who created the evil. And that is kufr. Because we just got finished mentioning 10 evidences from the Quran and Sunnah that prove that Allah is the only creator. And he is the creator of everything. The creatures and their actions. And their descriptions and their characteristics. Naam. So the Shaykh Hafiz al-Hakimi, rahimahullah, he says, مَعْنَ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ أَفْعَالَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ كُلُّهَا خَيْرٌ مُحْضٌ. The meaning of this statement of the Prophet ﷺ, that the khair, all of it is in the two hands of Allah, and evil is not attributed to him, pure evil is not attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that the actions of Allah Azza wa Jalla, all of them are pure khair, undiluted, unpolluted khair, the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is our foundation, that Allah's actions are purely good, there's no doubt about it. It's good, that's it. مِنْ حَيْثُ اتِّصَافِهِ بِهَا وَصُدُورِهَا عَنْهُ لَيْسَ فِيهَا شَرٌ بِوَجْهِ. يعني بوجه من الوجوه. That the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them are pure good from the perspective of He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being described with them. The actions of Allah, if you describe Allah with His actions, those actions are all good. We can't describe Allah with any action that has evil in it. Attributing evil to Allah, that's impossible. From the perspective of these actions emanating from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they originate from Him, then also we can't attribute evil to His actions. His actions are pure good. There's no evil in them whatsoever. And the Shaykh explains why. فَإِنَّهُ تَعَالَى حَكَمٌ عَدْلٌ وَجَمِيعُ أَفْعَالِهِ حِكْمَةٌ وَعَدْلٌ. For indeed Allah the Most High, He is حَكَمٌ عَدْلٌ. He is a just, yani His actions are based upon perfect justice. حَكَمٌ عَدْلٌ, yani a ruler, judge, whose rulings and judgments are based upon wisdom and justice. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of His actions are based upon hikmah, wisdom, and adlun, yani putting everything in its proper place where it belongs. Giving everyone what they are entitled to, what they deserve, what's right and befitting for them. And adlun, justice. No injustice in it at all. No wrong. No zulm. يَدَوَ الْأَشْيَاءَ مَوَاضِيَهَا أَلَّائِقَةَ بِهَا. And He puts all things in their place that is appropriate and befitting and suitable for them. Everything in its proper place. Not like the people who put things in their wrong place. They give worship to other than Allah. Starting with. And then everything else that they do. Of zulm and injustice. But Allah puts everything in its appropriate proper place. كَمَا هِيَ مَعَلُومَةٌ عِنْدَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Just as He puts everything in their proper place, just as their proper place, their fitting place is known to Him, as it is known to Him, based on His perfect knowledge. Everything in its proper place, as it is known to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who's free from all imperfections, who's high, above, and far removed from ascribing any kind of imperfection to Him. This is the statement that the Shaykh yani lays as the foundation. That all of Allah's actions, from the perspective of Him being described with them, and they're originating from Him, they are pure good, and there is no evil in them whatsoever, because he is the just judge. All of his actions being based upon wisdom and justice, and he puts everything in its proper place, that is befitting of it, as it is known to him in his perfect knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, second part of his answer, وَمَا كَانَ فِي نَفْسَ الْمَقْدُورِ مِنْ شَرٍ فَمِنْ جِهَةِ إِضَافَتِهِ إِلَى الْعَبْدِ لِمَا يَلْحَقُهُ مِنَ الْمَهَالِكِ وَذَلِكَ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ يَدَاهُ جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا وَمَا كَانَ فِي نَفْسَ الْمَقْدُورِ مِنْ شَرٍ. And the evil, any evil that is in the maqdur, the thing that occurred as a result of Allah's pre-decree and executing His decree. What occurs, what happened, what came into existence or being, that maqdur, yani we have the qadr, which is the taqdeer of Allah, His decreeing something, and then we have the maqdur, that which occurs as a result of what Allah has pre-decreed and then brought into being by His creation. The maqdur, whatever is evil is in the maqdur, then this is from the direction of it being connected to the abd. Yani the action, the occurrence, the event, the being, whatever happened, whatever occurred, if there's evil in it, it's from the perspective of the abd, the person, the created being, not from the perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is لِمَا يَلْحَقُهُ مِنَ الْمَحَالِكِ. And this is due to what may befall him, the created being, what may befall the created being, من المحالك, of destructive things, harm, evil, whatever it is that a person considers evil. There's all types of evils, harm, trouble, difficulty, hardship, sickness, death, whatever it is, whatever mahalik, whatever destructive thing befalls the person, he said, the evil that's in the maqdur is from the perspective of the created being, due to what befalls him of destructive matters. وَذَلَكَ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ يَدَاهُ جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا. And that is due to what he has earned, what his two hands, كَسَبَتْ يَدَاهُ, what his two hands have earned, جَزَاءً, a recompense for him that he has earned, جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا, yani that is in accordance with what he has done. جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا, yani a reward that is appropriate and suitable, befitting of what he has, what he deserves. And if everybody got what they deserved, some people would be extremely happy, and some people would be very sad. But in this world, we don't find this happening. People are not getting the recompense they deserve. People are being cheated. People are being oppressed. People are being wronged. And other people are stealing and taking other people's rights. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people jazan wifaqa, a reward that is appropriate, that's suitable, that's befitting of their actions. مَا كَسَبَتْ يَدَاهُ, what the person's two hands have earned, what you have done, and what you earned by your own actions. So the Shaykh, he is saying here, and this is part of the answer, and this is not the whole of the answer, but this is the direction that he took it in, that the evil that's in the maqdur, the thing that occurs as Allah, as a result of Allah pre-decreeing and creating something, causing it to come into existence, if any is evil is in that maqdur, if any evil is in it, it's from the perspective of the created being, due to what befalls them of harm or evil or destruction from what their own hands have earned as a just reward for them. It's from the person. It's from the person. Now, that destruction, that harm, that evil that befell them, person, somebody throws them down on the ground and cuts them up, that's not injustice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's something more involved in that. And some people, they don't get what they deserve in this world, but for sure, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, everybody will get their due recompense. The Shaykh says that, so the evil that's in the maqdur, the thing that results, as that comes about, that occurs as a result of Allah's pre-decree and executing His pre-decree, if there's evil in that maqdur, when it occurs, this is from the perspective of the created being due to what they have earned with their own hands as a just reward for them for what they have done. The Shaykh says, and he mentions here three ayahs from the Quran, that's the end of his answer. He mentions three ayahs. We look at these three ayahs just briefly. The first of them is the saying of Allah in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 30th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And this ayah is crystal clear. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ. And no musibah, no calamity, affliction, harm, evil, whatever has befallen you. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا. Oh, I shouldn't say not no harm, but that which. يعني ما أصابكم يعني الذي أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم. Then it is due to what your hands have earned. Whatever has befallen you of affliction, of musibah, it is due to what your hands have earned. ويعفو عن كثير. And Allah pardons a lot. يعني whatever harm befalls you is from what you have done. It's not injustice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no evil from Allah. Rather, it's the result of your own hands, what you have done. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardoned a lot of what you have done, He didn't give you the full punishment. But the little bit that you get punished with, that's from your own doing. And He pardoned a lot. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٌ. And Hafiz Ibn Kathir mentions concerning this ayat a lot of points of benefit, but I'll just mention briefly. The first thing that I want to mention is he says, that no calamity befalls you, or whatever calamity befalls you is due to what your own hands have earned. Meaning, مَهْمَا أَصَابَكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ مِنَ الْمَصَائِبِ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ عَنْ سَيِّئَاتٍ تَقَدَّمَتْ لَكُمْ. That whatever it may be that befalls you, O people of calamities or afflictions, for indeed it is only the result of the evil that you have sent ahead. يعني your sins and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, meaning كَثِيرٍ مِنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah pardon a lot of the sins that you committed, that we committed. فَلَا يُجَازِيكُمْ عَلَيْهَا بَلْ يَعْفُ عَنْهَا. So He didn't يعني punish you, He didn't recompense you for a lot of those sins, but rather He has pardoned them. And then He mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 45th Ayat, وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ. That if Allah had called to account, punished the people, بِمَا كَسَبُوا, by what, for what they have earned, what they have actually done fully, no living being would have been left on the face of the earth. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. But He pardons a lot. يعني some harm came to us, some punishment, and as a result of our sins, that's from our own hands, and Allah pardoned a lot. If He was to give us the full recompense for our deeds, no one of us would be left on the earth. We'd have been destroyed already. And then He mentions a number of hadith. I'll just try to summarize. One hadith He mentions, hadith that's sahih in Bukhari and Muslim, hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhumah, والذي نفسي بيده. I swear, the Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by the one in whose hand is my life. ما يصيب المؤمن من نصب ولا وصب ولا هم ولا حزن إلا كفر الله عنه بها من خطاياه حتى الشوكة يشاكها. I swear by the one in whose hand is my life. The believer, no, يعني nothing afflicts the believer from nasab, يعني from ta'ab, from some difficult hardship that befall him, tiredness. ولا وصب مرض يعني sickness that befell him. ولا هم ولا حزن يعني worry or grief or sadness or sorrow. Except, none of this befalls the believer, the mu'min, except that Allah expiates from him due to that some of his sins. Even if it's something as small as the prick of a thorn. يعني every sickness, every worry, every grief, every sorrow, every harm that befalls the believer, it is a means of Allah expiating some of our sins due to it, even if it's as small as the prick of a thorn. And Hafiz Ibn Kathir mentions a narration, marfu'an, attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, reported by Ibn Abi Hatim. And that narration is weak. It contains some weakness. The scholars say that it is weak as a marfu' hadith attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, was sahih al-mawquf. What is correct is that it is, and he goes back to Ali ibn Abi Talib, one of the companions, not to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the isnad of the mawquf narration that goes to Ali is sahih. Wa huwa fi hukm al-marfu. And it takes the ruling of that which is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is because what? Because it's something that he said that can't be known by guessing or by ijtihad. It has to be known by revelation. And the essence of the narration from Ali ibn Abi Talib, he said, "Shall I not report to you a hadith that every believer is in need of knowing?" And we asked him, he recited this ayat, "وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ." He said that it is this ayat that no calamity befalls you, or whatever calamity befalls you, it is due to what your own hands have earned, and Allah pardons a lot. And then he said, "مَا عَاقَبَ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَاللَّهُ أَحْلَمُ مِنْ أَنْ يُثَنَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعُقُوبَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ." That whatever Allah punishes a person with in this world due to their sins, Allah is more clement, forbearing, patient, yani pardoning, forgiving, than to punish you a second time for the same thing in the next life, يوم القيامة. If a calamity befell you for some sins in this world, you will not get punished for it again in the next life. Allah is above that. And then he said, "وَمَا عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا." And obviously this is not something he could be just saying from ijtihad, right? This is something that has to come from revelation. "وَمَا عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَقْرَمُ مِنْ أَنْ يَعُودَ بَعْدَ عَفْوِهِ." And whatever Allah has pardoned, yani وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, Allah pardoned a lot of sins. If he pardoned you that sin, then Allah is أَقْرَمُ, he's more honorable than to go back to that sin again after he has pardoned you from it. You don't have to worry about it, it's gone. Allah is more honorable, Allah is more noble. If he has pardoned you from something, then يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ will come back and call you to account for it again. So if he has punished you for something, khalas, it's done. That's a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith, a beautiful hadith, the end of it is that when Allah wants good for his servant, then he allows calamities to befall him. He punishes him in this world, and so he won't get punished in the next life. Some calamities will befall him. And when Allah wants evil for his servant, he holds back from punishing him for his sins in this world and give him the full punishment of Yawm al-Qiyamah. So if a calamity befalls you, thank Allah that this is expiation of sins, it's raising of your degrees, and it's multiplication of your hasanat, as mentioned in some of the hadith. And Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions one of them here. If Allah has punished you for something, it's done. He's not going to punish you again for it. If Allah pardoned you from something, he's not going to come back and then call you to account for it again. And this narration, yani the marfu' narration attributed to the Prophet, the isnad is weak, but the mawquf narration from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu is sahih. And Allah knows best. And then he mentions other narrations from amongst them, is the narration of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah from Muawiyah, that is the son of Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma. He said, "I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, 'Ma min shayin yusibu al-mu'min fi jasadihi yu'dhihi illa kafra Allah anhu bihi min sayyi'atihi.' That there is nothing that afflicts the believer in his body that causes harm to him except that Allah expiates from him some of his sins due to it." And in the narration of Imam Muslim from Aisha, the beginning of it being the same, he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهَا حَسَنَةً وَحَتَّ عَنْهُ بِهَا خَطِيَةً. Yani that no harm falls the believer except that Allah will record for him due to it a hasana, and he will erase from him due to it a sayyi'ah. And in the narration of At-Tirmidhi, which is sahih, from Aisha radiallahu anha also, he said, إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً وَحَتَّ عَنْهُ بِهَا خَطِيَةً. Except that Allah will raise him up a daraja, and Allah will remove from him a sin. So we know then from these calamities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it will not befall the believer, and they are patient with it, except that it will be a means of expiation of sins, of sayyi'at, and a means of multiplication of hasanat, and a means of raising up of darajat, of a person's degree with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is indeed a blessing from Allah, and this is from the perspective of what? It's from the perspective of knowing that the calamities that befall us due to what we have done are actually khair for us, because it's expiation of sins and multiplication of rewards and raising of degrees with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is khair. And if Allah has pre-decreed and then executed His decree that it occur that some calamity befalls you, whether sickness or loss of wealth or lives or whatever, then this is khair khathir for the one who's patient with it. And there are a lot of hadith like this, and we don't have time to mention them, but you should go back and try to review. At least read the Tafsir ibn Kathir. The second ayah that the Shaykh mentions, rahimahullah, Surah Al-Zukhruf, 43rd Surah, 76th Ayah. And I'm going to try to be brief with the rest of this for the sake of time. 43rd Surah, 76th Ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا هُمُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ Allah is saying, we have not done any injustice or wrong to them. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا هُمْ الظَّالِمِينَ But rather, they themselves are the wrongdoers. Allah has not done any wrong. If there's any evil, it's not from Allah, it's from our own selves. We are the wrongdoers, ourselves. Hafiz Ibn Kathir, in brief, I'll just mention part of what he says here. Yani, this is after the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the meaning of which is that the mujrimeen, the criminals, will be in a terrible punishment in the hellfire, abiding therein forever, and they will not be given any, yani, ease from that punishment, and they will be in it in despair, without any hope of any relief. They won't even get a moment's relief from the punishment of the fire. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have not wronged them. Rather, they have wronged them. Rather, they are the ones who have done wrong. They are the zalimeen. Meaning, zalimeen bi'amalihim as-sayyi'ah. And they are zalimeen, wrongdoers, due to their evil actions. Of course, we have to be thinking about ourselves, because no one of us, except that we have some evil actions. And we continue to do evil actions. May Allah save us from the evil consequences of our actions and protect us from doing them. Aslan. It is due to what? We are the zalimeen. Due to what? Due to our evil actions. Ba'd the qiyam al-hujjaj alayhim. After the proofs have been established against them. And then they still kept doing evil deeds. Wa'irsal al-rusul ilayhim. And the messengers were sent to them. And they continued on the wrong path of disobedience to Allah. فَكَذَّبُوا وَعَصَوْا Then they denied the messengers and they disobeyed them. فَجُوزُوا بِذَلِكَ جِزَانْ وِفَاقًا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ And then they were rewarded, they were recompensed with a reward that is just and fitting. Yani that befits, that's in agreement with their deeds. That's in agreement with their deeds. That's their just reward. And your Rabb, He has not done any zulm to His slaves. Rather, the wrong is from our own selves. And the last ayah the Shaykh mentioned in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 44th ayah, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ That indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do any zulm, any injustice or wrong to the people, any at all, شَيْئًا, none whatsoever. Not any bit of injustice or wrong. وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ But rather the people, they have wronged their own selves. They have wronged their own selves. And before this, the ayahs before this, Allah mentions that there are some people who are listening to the Prophet ﷺ, but he cannot make the deaf to hear. And there are some people who are looking at the Prophet ﷺ, but he cannot make the blind people to see. And these people can't be guided. And after this, Allah mentions this ayat, that indeed Allah does not do wrong to the people in any way whatsoever, but rather the people are the ones who have wronged their own selves. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir mentions concerning this ayat, then Allah Ta'ala informs us, أَنَّهُ لَا يَظْلَمْ أَحَدًا شَيْئًا That He doesn't do anything whatsoever wrong to anyone at all. No one and nothing at all has Allah done wrong to. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَدْ هَدَى بِهِ مَنْ هَدَى مِنَ الْغَيِّ وَبَصَّرَ بِهِ مِنَ الْعَمَى وَفَتَّحَ بِهِ أَعْيَانًا وَأَعْيُنًا عُمْيًا وَآذَانًا صُمًّا وَقُلُوبًا غُلْفًا Yani Allah has not done anyone any wrong at all, even though He has guided, yani with His guidance, the religion that He sent in the Prophet ﷺ, those who He has guided, from being astray. And He has made to see those who are blind. And He has opened the eyes of some people who are in blindness and opened the ears of those who are deaf. And He has uncovered the hearts that were covered. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made some people to see and He has guided them. He guides whoever He wills. And whoever He guides is rightly guided. And He has led astray وَضَلَّ بِهِ عَنَ الْإِيمَانَ الْآخَرِينَ He has caused other people to go astray from Iman. فَهُوَ الْحَاكَمَ الْمُتَصَرِّفِ فِي مُلْقِهِ بِمَا يَشَاءُ He is the ruler in His kingdom. He does whatever He wills. الَّذِي لَا يُسْأَلْ عَمَّا يَفْعَلْ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ He is the one who is not questioned about what He does. Rather, they will be questioned. And why is he not questioned? The ilmihi wa hikmatihi wa adlihi, due to his perfect knowledge and his perfect wisdom and his perfect justice. He's not questioned about what he does. What he does is based on knowledge, based on wisdom, and based on justice. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this ayat, that indeed Allah does not do wrong to the people at all, but rather the people have wronged their own selves. And here Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir mentions the hadith of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from that which he narrates from his Rabb, that is hadith Qudsi Azza wa Jalla, where he said, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu al-zulm ala nafsi wa ja'altuhu baynakum muharraman fala tadhalamu. That all my servants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I have made zulm, wrongdoing, injustice, I have made it haram, forbidden from my own self. And I have made it forbidden amongst you to do wrong to one another. Therefore, do not do injustice, zulm, to anyone. To the end of the hadith in which the narrator, he says that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malukum uhsiha lakum thumma uwaffikum iyyaha. O my servants, indeed, it is only your deeds which I have accounted for you. Uhsiha lakum. It is your deeds. Allah has only taken account of them. ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا. And then I recompense you with that which is due to you based on your deeds. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. So whoever finds khair, then praise Allah. And whoever finds other than that, don't blame anyone but your own self. It's hadith reported by Imam Muslim. And the evil is not from Allah, rather the evil is from our own selves. And Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his explanation of Al-Aqeel al-Wasatiyya, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in a chapter, Fasl, dealing with Qadr, Khayrihi wa Sharrihi, he explains what is meant by the Khayr and the Shar in the Qadr. What is meant by it? And this goes back to our question that we're discussing tonight. And this is very important, the definition of Shar and the definition of Khayr. What is the definition of Shar? Yani, we believe in the Qadr, Allah's pre-decree, the good in it and the evil of it. And of course, the good is from Allah completely, totally, purely, and there's no evil attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though He is the one who has pre-decreed it, and He is the one who executes His pre-decree, and He brings it into existence or to occurrence by His creation and His ability. Ash-shar, in reference to qadr, it means that which is not suitable, comfortable, for the nature of the human being, such that it caused him some annoyance or trouble or some harm. This is what we mean by shar. We don't necessarily mean fornication and adultery. We don't necessarily mean murder. But we mean shar befalls a person, means something that is not, yani, compatible with his nature. It makes him feel uncomfortable. It makes him feel annoyed. It makes him feel discomfort. It caused some hurt or harm. All of that comes under shar. And this is what we mean by the shar that's in the maqdur, yani what occurs as a result of Allah's decree. And the khair, the shaykh said, is that which is yani in agreement with, is suitable and fits the nature of the human being, such that he receives some khair when it occurs, or some rest, or some happiness. Yani that which makes him happy, makes him comfortable, makes him yani feel that good has come to him. This is what we mean by khair. And the shar and the khayr, the shaykh said, all of that is from Allah. It is from Allah, but we don't ascribe shar to Allah. And this is the question that we're talking about tonight. And the shaykh, he discusses this question based on what we already read from Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, and then he expands on it. Shaykh says, he asks the question, وَلَكِنْ إِنْ قِيلَ كَيْفَ يُقَالُ إِنَّ فِي قَدَرِ اللَّهِ شَرًّا وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الشَّرَّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْهِ يعني إِلَيْكَ. However, if we are saying that the qadr, the khair and the shar of it, it is all from Allah. So what if a person says, how can we say that in the qadr of Allah there is shar, while the Prophet ﷺ said that evil is not attributed to you, Allah. Evil is not attributed to you. So how can we say shar is in the qadr of Allah? فالجواب على ذلك أن يقال الشر في القدر ليس باعتبار تقدير الله له ولكنه باعتبار المقدور له. So the answer to this is that we say the shar, the evil, the harm, the discomfort, the annoyance that occurs to the human being, this is not from the perspective of the taqdeer of Allah, from the perspective of Allah being the one who has pre-decreed that to happen. It's not from that perspective. The shar is not from that perspective. Rather, it is from the perspective of the maqdoor, the thing that occurs as a result of Allah pre-decreeing something. From the actions of the human being, what they do. It is from that perspective. And this is because we have, لِأَنَّ لَدَيْنَا قَدَرًا قَدَرًا وَهُوَ التَّقْدِيرُ وَمَقْدُورًا. We have two things here. The qadr and the maqdoor. The qadr is the action of Allah. And the maqdoor is what occurs as a result of Allah's pre-decreeing something. What occurs. So there's a difference between the qadr, the act of decreeing, and the maqdur, that thing that actually happens. Just as كَمَا أَنَّ هُنَاكَ خَلْقًا وَمَخْلُوقًا وَإِرَادَةً وَمُرَادًا. So there's qadr and maqdur. The action of Allah is the qadr, and the maqdur is what happens. And likewise there's khalq and makhluq. The khalq is the Allah's action of creation, of creating. And the makhluq is what happens, the creation, the created being coming into existence. There's a difference between the act of creating and the makhluq when it comes into existence as a result of Allah's action of creation. And there's irada, Allah's will or intent, and there's the murad, what happens as a result of that. And we have to separate from these two things in order to understand that the shar is not in the qadr of Allah, it's not in the khalq of Allah, it's not in the irada of Allah. Rather, the shar is in what happens as a result of that, the maqdur, the thing that occurs. It's in the makhluk, the created being. It's in the murad, what occurs as a result of Allah's irada. So from the perspective of Allah's act of creating, of act of decreeing, there's no evil in it. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ. Rather, it is all good, خَيْر. Even if it was something that is not suitable, yani is not comfortable for the human being, and it causes him some annoyance, and it causes him some harm, even if it is that, we don't say that there is shar in Allah's taqdeer, decreeing that to be. And this is because the shar that is in it, the discomfort, the harm that comes to the human being, huwa bi'atibar al-maqdur, it is in consideration of the maqdur, the thing that occurs. فَنَقُولُ الْمَقْدُورَ إِمَّا خَيْرٌ وَإِمَّا شَرٌ. So the maqdur, it might be khair or it might be shar. As far as the qadr, saying the qadr khairi wa sharri, what is meant by this? Yani when we say iman bil qadr khairi wa sharri, Shaykh said it means iman bil maqdur khairihi wa sharri. We believe that there is khair and shar in the maqdur. As far as the taqdeer of Allah, his act of decreeing, there is no evil in that. It is all khair. The maqdur may have khair, it may have shar, but the qadr, the act of Allah's pre-decree, it is all good. And the Shaykh gives an example, and he closes this discussion here. Example. We give you an example. For example, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Rum, 30th surah, 41st ayat. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. That al-fasad, corruption, wrongdoing, sin, whatever, has spread in the land and in the sea. The fasad, which is evil for sure, has spread in the land and the sea. Bima kasabat aydin nas, due to what the hands of the people have earned. Yani as a result of what? What the people have done. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. So that they may taste some of what they have done. Some of it. Because Allah said what? يَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. He pardons a lot. But a little taste of what you have done. So fasad spread in the earth as a result of what the hands of the people have earned in order for them to taste some of that which they have done. The Shaykh said in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَا حَدَثَ مِنَ الْفَسَادِ وَسَبَبَهُ وَالْغَايَةَ مِنْهُ. In this ayat, Allah makes clear what has taken place of fasad, corruption and wrong and evil in the land and the sea. This has happened, this has occurred, And he also makes clear what is the sabab, what is the reason or the cause of it. Why did this fasad come? And he also makes known to us the ghaya minhu. What is the ghaya, yani the hadaf, the hikmah, the purpose behind this fasad spreading in the earth? Why has Allah allowed it to spread? Due to what the people have done. For what reason? So that they may taste some of what they have done. The Shaykh says, he said, so what? To the end of the ayat, the fasad, indeed it is shar, evil, no doubt. The cause of it is the evil actions of the human beings. The ghaya minhu, the objective, the hadaf from it, is لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. That so that the people would taste some, yani of the consequences of what they have done, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Perhaps they will return, they will repent, they will turn back to Allah and correct themselves. So the ghaya, the hadaf, the hikmah behind this facade spreading in the earth, due to what the people have done themselves as a result of their own doing. But Allah allowed facade to spread in the earth for them to taste the consequences of their actions. Perhaps they may return. And this is the hadaf, this is the ghaya, this is the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowing the fasad to spread in the earth so that some of the people will return. So this is a good end. The hikmah, the intent, the purpose, the goal behind it is for the people to taste a little bit of punishment in this world so they will be saved from the greater punishment in the next life. So the Shaykh, he says, فَكَوْنُ الْفَسَادِ يَظْهُرُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ فِيهِ حِكْمَةِ. Yani the fact that the corruption is spreading in the land and the sea, it contains a hikmah, wisdom. A wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani all of Allah's actions are what? Based upon hikmah and adl. Based upon wisdom and justice. So it contains a wisdom. The fasad, he said, itself, in and of itself, is shar. لكن لحكمة عظيمة بها يكون تقديره خيرا. Huh? But because of the great, tremendous wisdom, the hikmah behind this happening, so the people will turn back to Allah after they taste some of the punishment of what their hands have earned. Due to this great hikmah, biha, due to this hikmah, yakunu takdiruhu khayran. Allah's takdir, yani Allah's decreeing that this take place, becomes good because of the hikmah behind it. The purpose, the objective behind it is to bring the people back, to save them from destruction. There's a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created shaitan, which shaitan is evil, but for a purpose. For a purpose. Naam, and the Shaykh, he closed by saying, كذلك المعاسي والكفر شر وهو من تقدير الله ولكن بحكمة عظيمة. And likewise, sin and disbelief is evil. They are evil. And they are from the takdir of Allah. Allah, indeed, He is the one who has pre-decreed that to take place. That sin would take place. And that kufr would take place. As we mentioned when we talked about irada. That Allah wills these things to take place, but He's not pleased with it. In His irada, qawniya, not in His irada, shara'iyya. It's not something that He loves, but He wills it in His irada, qawniya, for a purpose, for an objective, yani for wisdom, for some reason that will bring about a greater good. And I'm older than most of you. Most of you. But we still have Sheikh Uthman there. Somewhere. He's older than all of us. So, let me close with the final comments of Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, that he mentions the explanation of Riyad al-Salihin concerning this topic. And again, he brings some further points that are of benefit. And perhaps we got the point now, but there are some more points that perhaps, yani, we may benefit from. And the Sheikh, he says here, Rahimahullah, that pure evil will never be in the actions of Allah, abadan, pure evil. Pure evil, evil that doesn't contain any good. La halan wa la ma'alan. Yani that doesn't contain any good, not now, presently, nor in the future will it be will bring about some good. Yani there's nothing in the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that contains pure evil. That doesn't have any good that will come now or later. There must be some good in it. Either it will come now or it will come later. This is not possible to be present in the actions of Allah abadan, ever. This is from one perspective. Yani, that we mean by evil is not attributed to him, means that pure evil. Rather, something may be from one perspective, or to one person other than as opposed to another. They may, from one perspective, it may appear to be evil, but from another perspective, it is good. Or something may immediately bring some harm or annoyance or trouble or difficulty to you, but in the end, it brings about good. So it's not pure evil, although it may appear from one perspective or instantly at that moment, it may appear to be evil, but in the end, it is good. Khayran min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh said, this is from one perspective. Even the evil that Allah has decreed as pure, as an evil thing to occur in the world, as an evil thing, like murder, or like paganism, shirk, or kufr, or whatever, even this thing, لَابُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ عَقِبَةٌ حَمِيدَةٌ. There must be a praiseworthy end to it, an end result that's praiseworthy. There must be. Yani, even the thing that Allah decreed to occur, that is itself pure evil, the end result of it is good. Allah intends good by it, by some way. يَكُونُ شَرًّا عَلَى قَوْمٍ وَخَيْرٌ عَلَى آخَرِينَ. Yani, it might be evil upon some people. When it occurs, it brings some harm to some people, but it brings good to others. Have you not seen that if it rains, a lot of rain, and it drowns one person's crops, وَلَكِنَّهُ نَفَعَ الْأَرْضِ وَانْتَفَعَتْ بِهِ أُمَّةٌ. But the earth benefits from it, and a whole ummah of people also benefit from it. Yani, it is shar to that person whose crop was destroyed, but it's khair to all the rest of the people. If you will consider this, then you will see that this is something that's khair بالنسبه لمن انتفع به. It is good to those who benefit from it, but it is shar from the perspective of those who are harmed by it. So it is khair min waj wa shar min waj. From one perspective, it is khair. And from another perspective, it is shar, meaning some kind of harm or evil or discomfort or annoyance to another, from another perspective. From one perspective is khair, from the other perspective is shar. But pure shar can never be attributed to Allah. Not even in that, in the maqdur, is it pure shar. But it might be harmful to some people and good to others. وَكَذَلِكَ الشَّرُّ الَّذِي يُقَدِّرُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ هُوَ خَيْرٌ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ. And likewise, in the same way, the evil, the shar, that Allah decrees upon a person, in reality it is khair for him. In reality it is khair. Naam. لأنه إذا صبر واحتسب الأجر من الله نال بذلك أجرا كثيرا بأضعاف مضاعفة مما ناله من الشر. Because if his sabr is patient with whatever befell him of shar, and he expects, anticipates, hopes for the reward from Allah for being patient with that calamity that befell him, then he will achieve a reward that is greater by many times over than the harm that came to him. And this came in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said, "Yani, عَجِبْتُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ, that I am amazed at the believer. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَقْضِي, and in some of the narrations, لَمْ يَقْضِي لَهُ قَدْرًا إِلَّا كَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ, that I am amazed at the believer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never decrees a decree. And in another way, he said, decree for him. Any decree, except that is good for him. So if affliction, sickness, death, loss of wealth or property, whatever, befalls the believer, wallahi, if Allah decreed that for him, is good for them. If they what? Sabara wa ihtasaba. Be patient with it and expect, anticipate, and hope for the reward of Allah. And for this reason, it's mentioned that one of the ladies, one of the women of the past who was known to be a worshipper, was afflicted with some harm to her finger or her hand, and it was wounded. And she was patient with it, and she thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pain, the harm, the wound that came to her. And she said, "Inna halawata ajriha ansatni mararata sabriha," that the sweetness of the reward that she anticipated from Allah for being patient with it caused her to forget the bitterness of being patient with that harm. The sweetness of the reward. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di mentions this principle in Shajarat al-Iman. At-Tawdih wal-Bayyan li-Shajarat al-Iman. That halawat al-Iman yukhaffifu mararatu al-Sabr. Yani that the sweetness of the reward, yani reduces or lightens the bitterness of being patient with the calamity that befalls you. Then the Shaykh says, we also say, concerning this perspective of the shar not being attributed to Allah, that indeed shar in reality, لَيْسَ فِي فِعْلِ اللَّهِ فِي فِعْلِ اللَّهِ نَفْسِهِ بَلْ فِي مَفْعُولَاتِهِ. That we also say that the shar in reality is not in the actions of Allah, Allah's actions, the actual actions of Allah. Rather, it is in the maf'ulat, yani that which happens as a result of Allah's actions. Allah's actions is the fi'l of Allah, He is the one who does the action, and the maf'ul is the thing that His action occurred to, that it fell upon, the maf'ul. Yani, that he mentioned before as the maqdur. So the maf'ulat, the things that the action, yani that Allah's action caused something to occur to it, this, the maf'ulat might contain khair or it might contain shar. As far as the actual action of Allah Himself, it is only khair. But in the maf'ul, or the maqdur, or the makhluq, or the murad, that's where the evil is in. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ. I seek refuge in the Lord of the Falaq. Daybreak, or something like that. مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ. From the evil of that which He has created. Not the evil from Allah, but the evil from the makhluq, the created being. A min sharri alladhi khalaqahu Allah. Not the shar from Allah, but the shar from ash-shay alladhi khalaqahu Allah, the thing that Allah has created, the created being, the makhluq. And an example of this, the Shaykh gives, what points to this is that if you had a marid, a sick person, your child, or your husband, or your wife, or your brother, or your sister, or your mother, or your father, who was married. And it was said to that sick person, that your cure is in cauterization. Or cauterization. I don't know how you pronounce this word. Huh? Cauterization. That your cure is in this cauterization. Yani being burned with a hot iron, with fire. And then you burned that person, you cauterized him. With fire. And there's no doubt that the fire is painful. بلا شك. ولكن فعلك هذا ليس بشر. But your action of cauterizing this person is not evil. Even though they are in pain, that's for sure. But it is not evil. بل هو خير للمريض. Rather, this is good for the sick person. Because you are expecting in the end, عاقبة حميدة. Yani, a good end, a beneficial end from this cauterization. Meaning that the pain that the person is suffering, from that perspective, they look at it as being shar. But the good that comes as a result of it is definitely evil. So your action of healing them in this manner should not be looked at as something evil. Rather, it is pure good. Because of what? The aqibah hamida, the end, the good, praiseworthy end result. And likewise, the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He caused some things that are detestable to happen, those things which contain some shar, in reference to the action of Allah and Him bringing that thing into existence, this is khair. And that is because of what happens as a result of Allah's action is khair kathir. And finally, I'll close with this, and I know we have reached the hour point. I'll close with this. Yani, the Shaykh summarizes what he has mentioned here. In case you missed it, get it now. This is what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen summarized his explanation of this point in these words. Khulasatul Kalam. What is the summary of what he has said? Everything that occurs is by the Qadr of Allah, meaning the Taqdeer of Allah. Allah is the one who pre-decreed it. It's by Allah's action of pre-decreeing it. Everything that happens, no matter whether it's khair or shar. As far as the khair that occurs as a result of Allah pre-decreeing it, this matter is clear. It is from Allah. That's clear. The khair is from Allah. As far as the evil, then we say, إِنَّ الشَّرْ لَيْسَ فِي فِعْلِ اللَّهِ بَلْ هِيَ بَلْ فِي مَفْعُولَاتِهِ. Then we say, this is the first point that he mentions in the summary, that the evil, the shar, that's in this, is not in the action of Allah, Rather, it's in the maf'ul, the thing that occurs as a result of Allah's action. And we also say that these maf'ulat, these things that occur as a result of Allah's fi'l, as a result of Allah's action which is purely good, these maf'ulat, the things that occur that have some shar, قَدْ تَكُونَ خَيْرٌ مِّن وَجْهٍ آخَرٍ. Yani it contains some shar, but from another perspective, it may contain khair. Either for the person who is afflicted with the calamity himself, it may even contain khair for him, or if not for him, then it contains khair for other than him. So when it occurs, it contains some evil, but from another perspective, it may bring some good for him, or if not for him, then for somebody else. And here the Shaykh repeats the example of the rain that comes and destroys somebody's crops, but it benefits a whole ummah of people, a whole nation of people. So here, we say that it is evil for one person, but it is khair in reference to all the rest of the people. And we also say that it is shar min wajhin, wa khair laka min wajhin akhar. That in the same person, it may be from one perspective, it might be shar for him, some harm or hurt or discomfort, but it will from another perspective will be good for him. Because this shar that occurs to him, that afflicts him, in it is ajrun kathir, is a great reward for the believer if he's patient with it. يعني إذا صبر واحتسب. For ربما, perhaps, a person who some evil befalls him, a calamity, it will be the cause of their istiqama, of them returning to Allah and being upright, correcting their life and abandoning sin and corruption and filth and wrongdoing. It might be the cause, as we saw with a lot of people, a terrible calamity fell and they turned back to Allah. You find it a lot in the prison system. People who were Muslims and they were doing wrong, and then when that calamity befell them, they turned back to Allah. As soon as they got inside, they went straight to the Muslim services. Let me repent, get myself together. Or somebody else, who a calamity befell them and they wasn't praying, and they came back to start to praying because they saw their need of Allah. So that shar that befell them was a cause for that very person to bring good to them, if it caused them to return to uprightness, and for them to see the magnitude of the ni'mah of Allah upon them. So this means that it will be a praiseworthy end for them. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said. And I'm going to close with one hadith from amongst many that I have collected here, but I don't want to hold you, so I'm going to give this one hadith, a very beautiful hadith. I love it a lot, inshallah. I want to share it with you. And it's like a gift, inshallah. Whoever would like to accept this gift, inshallah, it is, yani, from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَكُونُ لَهُ أَنْ مَنْزِلَةُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فَمَا بَلَغَهَا بِعَمَلٍ. That verily a man, a person, لا يكون له المنزلة عند الله تبارك وتعالى. He will have a منزلة, a high place that Allah has determined for him. But he will not be able to reach it by his actions. And he didn't do enough salat and zakat and siyam, and he didn't do enough to get that. But Allah wants that place for him. Allah has decided that place for him. So that's probably most of us. We didn't do enough to get that place. But we hope that Allah has decreed it for us. And it might be the only way to get it is like this man. فَمَا بَلَغَهَا بِعَمَلٍ فَمَا يَزَالُ يَبْتَلِيهِ بِمَا يَقْرَهُ حَتَّى يُبَلِّغُهُ ذَلِكَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some of the narrators say, فَلَا يَزَالُ اللَّهُ يَبْتَلِيهِ بِمَا يَقْرَهُ حَتَّى يُبَلِّغَهُ إِيَّاهَا. Then Allah continues to test him, يبتلي بالبلاء, يعني with, يعني ابتلاه, ابتلاه, يعني Allah test him with trials and tribulations, with that which he hates, يعني trials and tribulations that he hates, حتى يبلغه, until being patient with those trials will cause him to reach ذلك, يعني أو إياها, يعني ذلك المنزلة, until it causes him to reach that station. So perhaps, yani Allah has decreed for His believing servants high stations in Jannah. And due to calamities, he increased their good deeds. Because they didn't make do enough. And due to the calamities, if they are patient with them, then Allah expiates their sins, remove them. And due to the calamities, Allah raises up their darajat, their degrees. And in this case, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue, la yazalu Allahu yabtali. Allah will continue to test him and try him with that which he hates. Not with little trials, easy trials, with that which you find difficult. Until being patient with that causes you to reach that station that Allah has decreed for you. May Allah grant us patience with our trials and tribulations. May Allah expiate our sins, and there are too many of them. And may we ourselves ask Allah's forgiveness and turn to Him repentance. And may He multiply our good deeds, however little they are. Yani graciously, the way He does. Yani He gives plenty. Yani multiplying by 10 up to 700-fold. إِلَى مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ Or as much as Allah wills. And Allah is generous and He gives plenty. May He multiply our deeds, our good deeds, and expiate our sins. And grant us patience and steadfastness. And grant us guidance so that we know the right way and we stick to the straight path and that we remain upon it by the tawfiq of Allah until we die in a condition of being pleased with Him. And He being pleased with us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.